Father, thank you for the nice day and the opportunity to be here together to celebrate the life and the love that you've blessed us with, how you preserve us in it, in this world. We ask for your protection and your guidance, for your forgiveness, and for your inspiration today. In Jesus' name, amen. I would imagine that everyone who is here this morning has come in the hope of receiving some kind of a blessing. Some looking for a big blessing. Some just a small one. Just please help me, Lord, for this week. But still, we all come, I think. I do. We all come looking for a blessing. There's good news. Good news in that. Because the Lord who is here with us today, who's promised to be amongst us, even if we're just two or three gathered together, that Lord is full of compassion, as our scripture reading said this morning from Matthew 9, verse 36 said, when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. So whatever your need might be, whatever your request before God is, then come close. Come close to him and make it known to him who hears, to him who understands, the one who's full of compassion. And there's no better day for it than today, the Sabbath day to come, because each Sabbath day holds in it an opportunity for blessing. We know this, you know this passage, but it's always good to look at it and to be refreshed by it. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verse 13, where the Lord is speaking and says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So what better place to come seeking a blessing than in church and on the Sabbath day? We celebrate these weddings here. For you two couples, let me offer just a little side blessing. The rest of you don't have to pay attention to this so much. But for the four of you, there is a blessing, a wedding blessing, a marriage blessing. It's at the very end of the book of Proverbs. You might not think of it just on the surface as a blessing for marriages, but it really is. The last chapter of Proverbs, that's chapter 31. There's a section here, it speaks mainly of the wife, but it's talking about the couple. Proverbs 31, verse 10. It says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And then over at the end of it, verse 29, many women do noble things, but you surpass them. You surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. And let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This passage speaks of pride and of mutual respect. It speaks of effort and cooperation, of toil, and then the reward of that toil. Of a husband and wife who work together, who labor together, who love one another and respect one another. And how that enduring commitment to one another and to God will bring a blessing to your life. So that's the blessing we leave you with today. There are many stories about individuals who came to Christ seeking a blessing. Parents who came bringing their little children so that he would lay his hands on them. The centurion whose servant was ill. There are stories of the blind, the lame, and the leprous, all who came and received relief and help. There were those who were emotionally distressed, sin-sick souls like Levi Matthew and Zacchaeus and Mary Magdalene. And then there was the totally desperate Jairus, the synagogue ruler, whose little girl, whose 12-year-old girl, was dying at home there in Capernaum in a house, just probably the one just behind the synagogue there in Capernaum with the little steps that remain of that in the ruins. His daughter was dying, and he's begging Jesus to come. And she died before they could even get to the house. But still, the Lord came, and he intervened and restored that little girl back to her parents. All these people saw their lives blessed by Christ, or at least changed by it. Sometimes it wasn't what the people came looking for that they received from him. Think of the rich young ruler and Nicodemus, even the thief at the cross. Maybe not what they were hoping to get, but they got something from God, something from Christ. Their lives are changed. Our lives are changed by the presence of our Creator. I'd like us to focus on just one particular story because it's about a lady who came to church just like we did, not expecting anything so much drastic to happen, but just hoping for a blessing. She's there in church every week because she wants God's blessing. It's found in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke 13. This episode is only recorded by Luke. It's not found in any of the other Gospels. This woman is going to church or synagogue seeking a blessing. But there she encounters Jesus. Luke 13, verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward. And he said to her, "Woman, Gunai, you are set free. You are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all the opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Gunai, apulelusai, woman, you are set free. Literally, you are cut loose, cut free from your infirmity. This dear woman, because it's the Sabbath, she's in church. This is the very last recorded incident of Jesus being and teaching, healing in the synagogue before he goes to Jerusalem, where everything else happens in the temple. This probably happened in Galilee. Maybe it happens in Pekin. We don't know where it happens. But it's the last time he's in a synagogue that it's recorded. It says here that this woman was crippled by a spirit for 18 years. And that the word about her being bent over really means that she was bent over double. So she was just extremely handicapped from this. Jesus affirms for us that the cause for her reason is that she was being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years. You know, 18 years can pass by and we may not think much of it. You know, get invited to a reunion or something of some kind, you think, wow, it's been 10 years already. But when you're bent over double, those 18 years really are long years. This situation about this woman tells us something kind of interesting. Some afflictions, even for people who are born into a community of faith, they come to them, they receive these things as a result of flirting with the devil, of playing on his ground. Of course, not all of infirmities are like that at all, and not all in the Bible are like that. The man who has his own mat at the pool of Bethesda who can't get to the water when it's being disturbed, That fellow, the way it's described, is totally just a disease. It has nothing to do with a spiritual ailment that causes the infirmity. But in this woman, this is the case. She knows of her spiritual need that accompanies her physical need, and this leads her to the synagogue, to the house of prayer every week. Let me show you a truth here that's kind of buried in the words of this text. When Jesus called her to the front of the synagogue, he said these words. I've written them on the board. He says to her, "Gunai, woman, apolelosai, you have been loosed. You have been cut free. Tes asthenesou, from the infirmity or the weakness of you." This word, asthenes, it means literally a weakness. A weakness. It's related to the illness, but it is not the disease itself. It is the basis for the disease. Keep your finger here, but look at another text from Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17, it says, "This was to fill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities," which is asthenes, our infirmities, "and carried our diseases." Nosus. The disease is a different word entirely. Nosus. Some of you out here are medically minded. This is saying theologically that in some cases, or at least in this case, that the weakness becomes the cause or the opportunity for the disease. The weakness, whether it is spiritual, attitudinal, physical, mental, emotional, comes over this individual, clouds over the individual. And then an opportunist, an agent of disease, the nosus, comes in and takes advantage of the weakness of the host. And then the illness sets in. But the weakness comes first. The piercing of the defenses happens first. In some cases, the weakness is caused by sin. And the disease that comes is an effect or a result of that sin. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They had perfect defenses. There was no asthenes. There was no weakness. Until Satan shows up and he brings the asthenes, he brings the weakness with him. It's the temptation to get them to open the door, just a crack, to unlock their defenses just a little. And then the weakness comes in, it clouds over, and then the disease sets in. The evil spirits work in the asthenes, in the weakness, the temptation to sin. When the host surrenders, the evil one wins. And the effects of sins bring with them physical results. She was a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years. It was her sin, it was her weakness, asthenes, that led to her physical problem. So notice, with that being the case, notice now the order of what Jesus does when he deals with her situation. We're back again in Luke. Luke 13, verse 12. "When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your asthenes. You are set free. You are cut loose from your weakness.'" Not the disease. The first thing he deals with was her weakness, her slavery to her sin. She's cut loose from that. Then the next thing he does, verse 13. "Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God." Then comes the healing from the disease. As it was then, so it will be now. Before you can be healed of any outward affliction, whatever it is, you first need to be released. You need to be freed from your fundamental weakness that opens the door to your affliction. Whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. Your heart, your being has to be set right. It has to be healed. And the only person you can go to for that is the one who created that heart, that being, in the first place. The Lord speaks to us in Ezekiel chapter 18. And he says in verse 30, "Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent. Turn away from your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." The Lord of all compassion, the great physician, specializes in the restorations of hearts and of beings. And he gives us here this open invitation for renewal and for healing and for freedom. You came for a blessing today. You came looking for a blessing. That's what Christ is offering. If you would like to pray, like to ask God for that healing, for freedom from the asthenias, the weakness that's beset you, that's overcome you, I invite you to just stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. If you're asking for God's blessing in your life, you need something special, then stand right where you are and let's ask Him. Let's make our petitions known. Our dear Father in heaven, Lord, you who come here, you come to this earth to seek us and to save us, you who have the power to set us free, to say the word that will drive the evil one from us, Lord, we ask for that blessing and that help and that healing right now. We pray that you would bind the evil one away from each person in this place and that you would drive them from this place, that we might have a moment, a rest of peace with you, with our Creator. And Lord, in this space of peace, freed from our weakness, we ask for your healing. We ask for your help. We ask for your restoration, for your encouragement. Lord, whatever each particular need is that you know, that you understand, Lord, I pray you would bless these dear people and help them. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.